Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Monday Night Football on the way tonight. It is Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's not here. He's going to go to the game. He's in New York. He reported via Twitter his round at Bethpage Black. He kept it under 100, which I think is a feat. I've not yet done the Bethpage Challenge. He did. So he's at the game tonight. He'll be back on Wednesday. I told him to call tomorrow to tell us, you know, what it was like to be there at the stadium. So he's off today and tomorrow. Jeremy White with you. Paul Hamilton joining us on the Wester Hotline. His appearance brought to you by Ralex Honda. Ralex, we got this. We'll get into the Sabres, who had a nice win over the weekend. It is, of course, a Buffalo Bills Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Monday Night Football memories. Paul, what do you got for a Bills Monday Night Football memory?
Well, there was a time where I covered both teams, and I was at a Monday night game in New York, and I remember there were fires. They were setting fires in the stands. They were bored because it was back in the Jim Kelly era, and the Bills were winning handily, so it was fights. It was throwing things at each other. It was starting fires. It was quite a scene.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, what's my biggest Monday night memory for these Bills? I mean, that's back before my time, you know, talking about the Bills, the Kelly era. Most of mine are about pain, you know, drought pain. There's the Cowboys game. There's the McKelvin fumble. The wins, and they get a win on Monday Night Football earlier this year, right? Didn't they win their, the opener? No, not the opener. The Jags was Monday Night Football, sorry. Like the 7:30 doubleheader for Monday night. So, yeah. Monday Night Football.
There was one that Rashad won on it was a home game, and Rashad won very late. I don't know if it was the last play, but he caught a touchdown pass, and they beat the Raiders.
Yeah. Well, Paul, it's a big one tonight for the Bills and the Jets. Let's get to the Sabres, though, who changed a little bit of the conversation about them to a point. You know, you win a game, you beat the defending Stanley Cup champs, they are down a couple players, and, Paul, if ever the universe, the hockey universe, gave you some goals maybe you had deserved, it was this game, as the Sabres got a couple of gifts along the way to getting a victory. But like I said, I'm chalking that up as they were due to get a couple to get through.
Yeah, they were. And really the biggest difference between the Kings game and the Panthers game is goaltending. I mean, they didn't get any of those cheapies, and they had three of them against the Panthers, but you know, they earned those opportunities too. I mean, they played really well and didn't win the Los Angeles game. And then they just continued to play really well and were able to, you know, beat the Panthers rather handily because some pucks went in the net for them. But it wasn't all that different as far as the game went. They were right on point, and you know they got behind, and it did not affect them whatsoever. One goal didn't turn into, well, now you're down 3-0 at the end of the first period, which often happened last year. One goal turned into let's go to work, and it was a hard working goal. Peyton Krebs, if I was picking the Stars, probably would have been the second star of the game to me. I mean, they decided, you know, Ruff decided to dress Gilbert. He wanted some physicality. Sat Lafferty, so he only had 11 forwards. And I don't know. Lafferty had two offensive zone penalties to his credit, and I'm wondering if that may have had more to do with it than he wanted to get a hard-hitting Gilbert into the lineup, because Lafferty is a big forechecker who is also a hitter, and Gilbert only played 449. Now, he got what he wanted. Gilbert had really big physicality in that game in the little bit that he played. I think he had three hits. He rocked a couple of guys. So he got what he wanted as far as that went. But I just wondered if maybe Lafferty paid the price of taking a couple of offensive zone penalties. But anyway, by the time, Malenstein stopped playing in the middle of the first period, he only played two shifts. He didn't feel Benson is himself yet. He just thinks Benson is still with the injury. So he went down to three lines. Peyton Krebs got an opportunity to play and really, in my mind, took advantage of it. I mean, in that first goal to tie the game, he goes into the corner, easily out-battles Nate Schmidt, gets the puck to Greenway. Greenway takes the puck hard to the net. And basically, he didn't run the goalie over, but he went right through the crease area with the puck and then wound up on the backhand. It had a lot of the net to shoot at and scored the goal. It was just a hard-working goal, and I thought Krebs and Greenway worked extremely hard that whole game. And, you know, Greenway did get the first star, and I would have given Krebs a second.
You know, you mentioned that, the opening goal. Then there's the one that's the mad dash as the goaltender makes a crazy play and it's launched from the point, and it's like a minute scramble and the Sabres ultimately put it in the net. You know, Paul, I saw numbers on this that last year Buffalo was last in the league at creating goals from like the forecheck and the offensive cycle, and Florida was number one. Mm-hmm. Like, here's the cup winners and you, and the thing that separated those two teams the most last year was exactly that. So if there's a thing I liked about that game, it's not just that they beat Florida, it's that they won in a way that Florida does in that game.
They were relentless. Now, it didn't produce the goal right away, as you mentioned. It was just a huge schmozzle on the crease. I think they might have gotten three shots off, and I think they all hit skates. The goaltender wasn't going to make the save. And everybody was just all over the place, and they just kept trying to get the puck through, couldn't get it through. And then finally it got back to the point. And then by that time, the goaltender was back in the net. And it was just a one-timer that was clean through. There wasn't anybody screening at that point. And, it wound up in the net. But still, the tenacity of the Sabres just to keep coming. You know, shot didn't make it, got blocked. It hit somebody. It might hit a Sabre. It might hit a Panther. Who knows? Everybody had collapsed down into the crease. And they just couldn't get a puck through to the empty net and in, but they never stopped trying until the puck did wind up in the net.
Sabres get a win on the weekend over the Florida Panthers. The next couple games, Paul, like these are the teams you should beat, right? You've got three games on the road in a row and back home a week from tomorrow for Stars, Red Wings, Panthers again, Islanders, a homestand. But the three games before this homestand can do an awful lot of work. You're playing the Penguins, who have been off to a pretty rough start this year, the Blue Jackets, and the Blackhawks, three teams you finished ahead of last season. So yeah. I'm just going to ask, as Lindy Ruff, you know, continues to get this thing rolling, I feel like it's a big stretch of games. I know it's week two, but it's a big stretch of games for them.
Yeah, the Blackhawks had a nice win on the road, I saw, this past weekend. And Yeah, but they are. And it's interesting because before the Los Angeles game, I said, all right, yeah, they're 0-2, but here they've got some winnable games coming up, probably four out of the five. The one that I probably wasn't thinking was the winnable game is the one they won. They didn't win one of them that I thought was a winnable game. So they've actually reversed the whole trend. And even though you're playing teams that you know are winnable games and you should beat, even though they maybe aren't great teams, they are home. And sometimes it just comes up and it doesn't work for you. I mean, it's going to be a back-to-back for the Sabres, something they have not been good at in recent history, something that if they want to be a playoff team, they got to get better at. Well, no better time than now. They've already lost a back-to-back. It was in Europe. It wasn't here, but there was no travel involved in the back-to-back situation. There will be a little bit of travel involved in this. It's not a long flight from Pittsburgh to Columbus, and then you have a practice day, and then you have Chicago. So none of this is going to be hard travel for them. It's early in the season, so and it looks like Lindy Ruff is going to alternate goaltenders.
Mm-hmm.
So looks like I would expect Luukkonen in Pittsburgh. I would expect Levi in Columbus, and I would expect Luukkonen in Chicago, which honestly I probably would have expected anyway, even if you were going to use Luukkonen as your number one goalie. Even if Luukkonen had played the game against the Florida, I would have thought, well, yeah, he'll probably play Pittsburgh and Levi will play the back-to-back and play against Columbus, which I think now that we've seen it looks like it's going to be a rotation is what's going to happen anyway.
Paul, one thing, you know, like I said, the weekend was good for the Sabres. They beat the Panthers. They got a win in front of their home crowd. Was it as jazzed as it was for the opener? Were people invested?
They were. There weren't as many people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were. I mean, they were into the game. You didn't hear loud boos or anything because they got behind 1-0 because they weren't playing that poorly. They got behind 1-0, whatever. I mean, it was a play that kind of fell apart a little bit, and defensemen came late. You had two defenders sprawl, and it wound up in the net. But it didn't turn into what we witnessed last year, where the first little mistake that happened, all of a sudden the boos came flying down. It was just like, all right, they scored, and the Sabres went about their business and didn't let it bother them and continued to play good hockey. And I think the fans in both games, even the Los Angeles game, if you went to that game, let me put it this way. Had I paid for that game, I would have left that game thinking I got my money's worth. It was an entertaining game. It just didn't go the Sabres' way, but I think if you went, you were entertained.
We're getting penalty shots. I mean, although there should have been another penalty shot.
Yes.
Paul, who was that on that breakaway that went in all alone that should have been a penalty shot?
Because it escapes me, too, because there were so many other things that happened in the game. But absolutely.
Was it McLeod? I don't know who it was. Anyway, the point is
it was Kulik.
Kulik, thank you. Yuri Kulik. He goes in as alone as you could possibly be and gets hooked right in front of the goaltender at the top of the crease, and they just award 2-minute power play, which, by the way, you know, if the Sabres could choose, they might pick a penalty shot right now over a power play, of course, because the power play is maybe the last thing to get on track. Not the last thing, but the power play is still kind of a mess, at least not producing. So anyway, thoughts on that non-penalty kill, and that non-penalty shot, I should say.
I thought it was more of a penalty shot than the one that did get called.
Yeah.
Against the Kings, to be quite honest with you. I didn't think there was any question. And then I saw the replay, and I still didn't think there was any question that should have been a penalty shot. Maybe, you know, well, the referee wouldn't know that the Sabres got one of the game before. Maybe he thought, well, we're not going to give him two penalty shots in two games. But it's just typical what you see in the National Hockey League, very inconsistent refereeing. Although, you know what? As I think about it, these last two games I didn't think were the worst ref games I'd ever seen. But still, I don't have a lot of faith in the officiating of the National Hockey League.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. As we look for the Eye on the Blue and Gold that's brought to you by Great Lakes Building Systems, we keep an eye on your business so you don't have to. Great Lakes Building Systems, our business, is protecting your business. Let's keep an eye on that power play, Paul. Is it, you know, we mentioned the Sabres get a bunch of goals against the Panthers, and it looked like they were due for some. They were a bit snake-bitten, and they kind of explode against Florida. Is the power play to you a little bit snake-bitten too, or is there something still really fundamentally wrong and they got to keep working on it?
Lindy Ruff talked about it. He thought their entries, he gave a percentage, and I don't recall what it was. He goes, our percentage of entries against the Kings was much better than it was against the Panthers. So he kind of felt it was a little bit better against the Kings than the Panthers. At least they're getting into the zone a little bit more, where in the beginning they weren't getting into the zone at all. And they're still being a little bit hard-headed about, you know, the Panthers just basically lined up on the blue line. You're not getting in here. And the Sabres, you know, we're being bullheaded about it, that we're going to try to carry it past you. And the Panthers are saying, no, you're not. And they didn't. So they have to learn to get the puck into certain areas when teams are going to do this to you, and get the puck in certain areas, go get it, go compete, and, you know, win the battles and get set up. And, you know, now in the last two home games, Kulik was over in the spot and just kind of fanned on a one-timer with the kind of shot he has. You'd like to see him connect on that. Thompson did finally get the one-time opportunity, and he missed the net on it. So, you know, they finally got him into the circle, which they're not really trying to do on a regular basis. But they got that over there, and you know, he wound up getting the shot off, and it didn't work out for them. But I think for the power play to work, they're going to have to start getting some shots through from the point. The other team's going to have to honor that. And they don't right now, because Power and Dahlin don't shoot. So when they don't shoot all that often, the other team goes, well, we don't have to really honor that too much, because they're not taking too many shots from the point. So it gives them a chance to cut off other avenues.
Has Kulik earned more time, more of a look, anything, Paul?
Yeah, well, the thing is, you got Malenstein out for – or I'm sorry, you've got Obe Kubel out for 3 to 6 weeks. So you have the roster spot where he can, and – I liked him. I've liked what I've seen in a lot. You know, he gets in on the forecheck rather quickly, and sometimes is first on the battle and first on the pucks. You know, I've liked what I've seen so far, but I know there's more. And as he gets the opportunity, I think you'll see more. So I think it's a good deal that, you know, he's going to be here for a little bit. How much he gets to play, I don't know, because when Paterka comes back, somebody's going to have to come out of the lineup, so we'll see, you know, who that might be. But, you know, even if he doesn't get to play, he's here with the coaching staff. He's here with Lindy Ruff. Lindy Ruff has had individual meetings with him. He's here practicing at a high level, you know, with the team. So I think all of that will help his development and make him a better player, even if there are games that he's not in the lineup.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline ahead of a big week for the Sabres. Paul, you're going to be watching what, the Yankees ALCS game tonight leading into Bills Jets?
I don't really enjoy commercials, so as soon as there's a commercial in the football game, we're off to the baseball game. And since I have cable here, you can rewind up to an hour. So if there was a run scored or some whatever, I can rewind quickly and get to where the runs were scored, so that's nice.
Yeah.
So I'll be watching both.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Paul. Oh, wait. Wait. Before we
What's
go.
Up?
Sorry.
What's up?
Rob Ray to the Sabres Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's long overdue. I mean, he was the guy that every time I walked by that, I go, how's Rob Ray not in this? And it's not just for being a beloved player, and he was a beloved player when he was here, and maybe that would have been enough to get him in. But, you know, being a broadcaster with RJ and – you know, I feel a really good broadcaster for the Sabres for many, many years. And for me, it's also what he's done in this community. Things that people don't even know. You know, while we're enjoying our Thanksgivings and our Christmas Eves, Rob Ray's out in the community around Thanksgiving time. He's delivering food for the underprivileged. You know, on Christmas Eve, he's out delivering toys, you know, for the underprivileged. And he doesn't ask for accolades. He doesn't want accolades. He doesn't make a big deal of it because he doesn't want people to know he's doing it. He's been doing it since he was a player. those are the types of things in the community. You know, he's always involved in the charity events. He runs the Alumni Association and gets them involved in charity events and things like that. So to me, almost the charity work that he has done since he has been a Buffalo Sabre and giving back to the community is just as important as his playing career and his broadcasting career to me.
Yeah. Long overdue, as you said. Good, congratulations to him. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.
Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Sabres got a win over the weekend. They beat the Florida Panthers. And next up, it's a set of games against teams that, you know, aren't very good. You'd hope the Sabres would be better. I mean, they finished ahead of them, all three of them, last season. So the Sabres sit 1-3, and they'll play the Penguins, the Blue Jackets, and the Chicago Blackhawks. Penguins 1-2. They've given up 13 goals in their three games, the Penguins have. So, you know, string together some wins. Just win three in a row. I know it's asking a lot, right? Win three in a row, and then come back next week, Tuesday. Dallas Stars, a four-game homestand. Win three in a row. This is where I'll buy into some momentum idea. Not necessarily that the momentum would carry over on the ice for these three games for the Sabres going forward, but just get 4,000 more people in the building for the homestand. Because the home opener, I was at the home opener. It was a good crowd, good intensity. And if they're going to play a fun brand and kind of get that juice back early in the season, that'll be nice. And three wins this week would go a long way for that, I think, to get them back for a four-game homestand. Bills and Jets tonight. It's Monday Night Football. You can, of course, hear the game here on WGR. It will also, there will be a Manning cast. I don't expect anybody to watch the Manning cast real time. I won't either. You know, your games, your team's playing in the game. It's more of a traditional broadcast, which means Buck and Aikman. But Belichick and Manning, I will definitely go back and watch it. Or, you know, catch the highlights of what they have to say about this. If you missed it a couple of weeks ago, Belichick raved about, or at least broke down, a Sean McDermott defense and how it runs. And it will be very interesting to watch him kind of watch them in real time and explain what's happening and how it's all going. So that'll be on the Manning cast tonight. Set the record, whatever. Click the button. You don't say set the DVR anymore. It's just click a button to add to my library wherever you stream it or however you get it. But Manning cast tonight, I'm going to make sure to go back and watch. 803-0550, Sal gives us the latest at the top of the hour. Shakir, not ruled out. James Cook, not ruled out. Questionable, limited at practice. The only player that's been ruled out, Ed Oliver, who Sean McDermott said is trending in the right direction. He suffered an injury in practice before last week's game. So Oliver is out. The rest, you know, we'll see. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. A prediction. What you think tonight ends up? Do the Bills win or lose? What do you like? And what does it hinge on? Wide open phone lines for you. 803-0550 on WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now for Alex Tuck. Room for Thompson right side with a shot. Scores! Tage Thompson with some TNT, and the Sabres have the lead.
One of your first moments of the game. For the moments in life, go forth to Firth. Sabres back to it this week after a win on Saturday. Jeremy and Joe. Joe's off today. He's going to go to tonight's game as a fan. Sit amongst Jets fans. Jets and Giants fans, I got two stats for you. I'm going to give you two stats this segment. One's going to lead into a conversation about Kincaid. The other's going to be a preview for tonight's game. So, good morning. We're getting to that time of the year where it's still dark out, huh? It is easier to put kids to bed. Let me tell you that.
It's harder driving in the morning, though. It used to be nice seeing the sunrise come up. You're like, I'm waking up now. But
I know.
Yeah.
It's getting dark, and it's super rainy.
Doesn't help that it's downpouring outside. It's
true.
Gloomy.
True. Listen, every season needs a little bit of rain. Anyway, the Jets and the Giants. So the Giants lost last night on Sunday Night Football. Here's your stat. Josh Schmidt here producing. Here's your stat, Josh. Ready for this? The Giants and Jets are a combined 4-30 playing at night since 2019. The Jets and the Giants are combined 34 primetime Jets and Giants games. Jets or Giants.
Right. Even though there's two teams, that's a high
34
number.
34 in the last 5 years, and the teams are 4-30. And tonight the Jets go again.
Wow.
This reminds me of when the Bills played in Baltimore. Baltimore in primetime is 21-3 in their last 24 games. And here the Jets and Giants have combined 4-30 in primetime. These teams get on primetime. Despite not being very good. I mean, it's New York. All right. The other number I wanted to get for you. Make this a trivia question. I almost want to make this a trivia question. Let's play along the home version, all right? Here you go. Here's the question. How many career touchdowns does Dalton Kincaid have?
Three.
I'm double-checking the playoffs to make sure what he's got in the playoffs.
I think it's... I don't think he has anything in the playoffs.
In the playoffs, he has one.
Oh.
He had one in the Pittsburgh game.
Okay, I'm changing my answer to four.
Four. Dalton yes. Kincaid, your answer is Dalton Kincaid has four touchdowns. That is correct. Dalton Kincaid has four touchdowns. Why do I bring that up? Because Next Gen Stats had a number on Sam Laporta that I found, let's just say I found it quite interesting. This is your point if you want to make, if anyone tries to argue with you about how good Laporta is versus how good Kincaid is. And it will swing back to a point on the Bills' offensive play calling, strategies, whatever. So did you see the Lions ran a trick play. A pitch, it goes to two different players, Montgomery to Amon-Ra St. Brown, and then they throw it back to the tight end, Sam Laporta, 52-yard touchdowns. Trick play. Next Gen Stats said, this 52-yard touchdown, on this play, Laporta had three. It's another play where he has three or more yards of separation. He has, in his career with the Lions, seven touchdowns of three or more yards of separation, most in the NFL. And you know who he's tied with? Amon-Ra St. Brown. Translation, the Detroit Lions have the two guys with the most touchdowns that are wide open in the NFL in the last two seasons. Two guys. That's how good Ben Johnson and that offense run. I've got Sam Laporta with twice as many touchdowns as Dalton Kincaid does, basically. He has seven that are wide open. Kincaid has four in his career. Laporta has 11. 11 touchdowns to four. The Bills drafted Kincaid much higher than the Lions drafted Laporta, and I don't get the results right now. And I don't think very many people think it's a problem with Kincaid himself. I've yet to see anybody say Kincaid doesn't really bring it in the receiving game. Maybe he's not as dynamic as we thought. You know, last week there were a couple of clips of Kincaid getting blown up on screens, and blocking might not be where you want it to be, but that's not who he was drafted for. And it's early in their career, and I've got Laporta with 1,000 yards, nearly 100 catches for his career, and 11 touchdowns. Kincaid's not that far behind on catches. He's not that far behind on yards, but on scheming him open into space where they can get touchdowns, he's way behind. 11-4 on touchdowns. And the fact, like, that number just jumped out at me. Laporta has had, according to Next Gen Stats, seven wide open touchdowns. Scheming, right? Finding answers, confusing defenses, whether that's pulling attention somewhere else. And also worth mentioning, like, the Lions, their receiver core, the Lions' weapons are kind of built, well, the Bills don't have Jamison Williams out there anywhere, but the Lions have Amon-Ra St. Brown and Sam Laporta, two guys that win a lot over the middle of the field. Amon-Ra St. Brown plays in the slot an awful lot, but seven touchdowns wide open, and I got Kincaid with four for his career. That's tough. Need to get him more involved. Need to find a way to, I mean, I don't think I should be worried too much about him as a player, but of course the idea is he's one of your best. You drafted him to be that. 803-0550 1-888-552-550. Who wins tonight, and what do you think ultimately makes the decision on who wins? What part of the game do you feel is a big part of it? The thing I'm expecting, so I guess a lot would probably think it's going to be a low-scoring game, right? These two defenses are probably good. These two offenses might have their problems. I mean, it's not Detroit or Washington out there. It's not even Baltimore, who... Derrick Henry's on pace for almost 2,000 yards this season. Don't sleep on him for MVP. If a running back gets 2,000 yards and the Ravens finish as a top one or two seed, like, I think Derrick Henry's going to have a case, even though he's in the backfield with last year's MVP. 2,000 yards might do it. He's close. One thing about tonight's game, if I were to predict tomorrow, like, what's the conversation tomorrow? Bills win. All right, fine. The Jets are toast. I really, you know, 2-4. They need help. They already changed their coach. Disarray. The Jets are already thought to be in disarray. If they lose to the Bills, they're two games back, six games in, tiebreaker as well. If the Jets find a way to win this game and the Bills offense looks like it's struggling again, it's a big time pressure game for Joe Brady, I think. On the road, divisional game. An island game, as they call it, the only game on. And football's about to tune in and say, like, what's going on with that Josh Allen offense? I hear it's not doing too well. Let me take a look at that thing. And if, I mean, can you imagine what the conversation would be like tomorrow on the national shows or even here? If he has a performance like he did against Houston, where the offense, nothing goes right, they don't have answers. The quarterback's not taking the plays that are there. The coordinator's not really giving him a great menu. The receivers are dropping the ball. Can you imagine what it would be like tomorrow to hear that after going 3-3, losing three straight and losing to the Jets? Like, it would go to, you know, DEFCON 1 on the Bills' offense. What happened here? How could they let this happen? How could they let it get so far down? So I do feel like it's a big-time pressure game for Brady. Spotlight, find answers, get it done against the Jets. And if you do, you know, next couple weeks, Tennessee, Seattle, I'll see about Miami. And this ends, I don't know, like I'm a little hesitant to call the Jets as part of the gauntlet part of the schedule, but when the schedule started, we thought, you know, Miami, Jacksonville, Baltimore, Houston, Jets. That looks like five pretty good teams. All AFC contenders. Miami, of course, has drifted. Jacksonville has drifted. You beat those two teams. Houston and Baltimore look like contenders, and you lost to those two teams. And here are the Jets, who might be in between those, might be in between Jacksonville and Houston, might be in between Jacksonville and Baltimore. And can you kind of stay above water? To be 3-3 and behind the Jets in the division would be, well, tough to take. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. If you want to give us a call, you can. Big weekend. Maybe you had a chance to watch the Cowboys get hammered. I'll say this about Tom Brady. I had a buddy send me a text like, Brady's actually doing pretty good in these games. I'm going to go hand up and confess something. I have seen zero Tom Brady on these broadcasts. And it's in part because he's always on the Dallas game, and they're always getting blown out. And when the Sunday Ticket, I'm on, or Red Zone, I'm on these other games and trying to watch what's close. And in those windows the Cowboys are on, the Cowboys are getting blown out regularly. It is stunning they haven't fired their coach yet. I guess they don't really have a move. I've got Jacksonville and Houston, Jacksonville and Dallas that might be calling for Belichick. I mean, is Belichick about to get called off the Manning cast today to go coach one of these teams? But Dallas, Dallas's halftime scores the last couple weeks are out of control. You know, you might be, I wonder if they're going to be talking about Dak Prescott today on all the, here are your halftime scores the last four home games. Dallas, 27-7, 35-16, 21-6, 27-6. Incredible. DJ in Virginia. Hey, DJ, good morning.
Good morning. So I got three quick things. One, I think in the offseason, the Bills talked about how they wanted the league is trending towards the two high safeties, and they need to run the ball. Whether that's smart every single first down, I think is, you know, debatable. But I think that's what they talked about in the offseason wanting to do. Two, I think the offensive coordinator needs to come down onto the field and coach Josh. I think Josh does, you know, he's opposite from most people of my generation, where I think criticism helps him and hard coaching really does help him instead of, hurting him. And then third, I think I would absolutely take Ben Johnson over McDermott. I think that guy is the next genius.
Thanks, DJ. Yeah, on Ben Johnson, like, it's interesting. He hasn't taken a job yet. He feels pretty comfortable where he is, and maybe he's waiting for the right scenario. He didn't leave Detroit. Will he this year? That actually, it's funny. That's like some NFL people to wonder if he has what it takes to be a coach just because he didn't jump at the first job. You know, sometimes you jump at the first job, it's not the best spot for you. But I don't think McDermott is anywhere on a hot seat at all. Brady, I don't know. I don't know what McDermott would think of him. Is Brady not doing what McDermott wants? I mean, all these run, it's a lot of runs on 1st and 10. Bills are a very run-heavy team. They've not turned the ball over, right? I mean, if McDermott and Brady are meeting, they're going to talk about what? The trick play call? And after that, the end-of-game sequence that McDermott took such heat for last week, Brady called three pass plays, and Allen didn't throw it to the guys that were open. I mean, the quarterback let him down on that, especially on the second down play. So, I don't know. I think McDermott is very, very safe, and I don't know about Brady. Ken Dorsey got 6 weeks, or a little more than that. Ken Dorsey got fired because of turnovers. They couldn't protect the ball. And that's not happening with a Joe Brady offense. It's one major difference. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. To join us, if you're on hold, stick with us. You can jump in on a phone call or join us with Sal, who comes up top of the hour from New York, as the Bills and Jets go for Monday Night Football here on WGR.
You coach him up, he's learning from Dalton. Yeah. I mean, what do you see as the on this season for Carolina or later this season?
Well, I think he's learning along the way. I think he needs to watch how a true professional...
Oh, intercepted! Clark Phillips will take it inside the five.
Isley gets down.
And wanted to run the game, the clock out.
I was watching that game. Atlanta-Carolina. A lot of it. Atlanta's fun to watch, especially against a bad defense like Carolina. Bijan Robinson had a big day. Drake London. Kyle Pitts had a couple catches. Like Atlanta. Atlanta's going to the playoffs, I think. And boy, if you're in fantasy football or anything like that, you want to play Carolina. They give up the points. So do the Bucks. Anyway, good morning. 803-0550. Just tweeted out the stat I found on Laporta v. Kincaid. Again, they're not that far apart in yards or catches, but they're way far apart in touchdowns. Career touchdowns, Laporta 12, Kincaid 4. And Next Gen Stats, I mentioned last segment, had a stat where Laporta has 7 touchdowns of 3-plus yards of separation or more, and he's tied with his own teammate. Like, that is scheme. That is offensive scheme. That Detroit gets Laporta into space more effectively than the Bills do for Kincaid. They get the job done for Laporta in a way that the Bills kind of don't for Kincaid. So hopefully that can be something we see. We'll get to Sal in a moment here. Brian and Arcade, stick with us. We'll get you on with Sal, your question about the offense. Anybody else want to jump on? Jeremy White with you. Joe's off today. Sal coming up in a moment as we get ready for Bills and Jets on Monday Night Football.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.